Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
The Blackhawks will make the playoffs next season.
I don't think so. They don't look very good right now.
That sounds like, a guy who read a script and then decided to ad-lib afterwards.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
It's Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Craig Button's in here because Noodles is in Ottawa tonight calling the Sens-Oilers game.
We sent a panel there for that game.
Well,
the
McDavid.
Dumpster Bowl.
It's McDavid, I guess, right? Like, it's
so
McDavid.
What?
As much as they have been a disaster, he's still the most entertaining player in the league to watch.
I would have said, Brent Wallace, you and Brucey, you're the panel. Get her done.
Bruce Garriott?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you loading up on that game?
Well, I don't know.
I'm more interested in watching McDavid at the World Championships. I hope he goes.
You think he will play?
Well, I hope he goes. I don't know why you wouldn't. You played deep into the playoffs last year.
I think he will because I think Sid went a couple years ago, and I think he's the kind of guy that would
Sid
say,
did.
You know what? Sid went. I should probably go.
Good point, Jeff. Good point.
I'd like to see that. Like watching him play, I'll watch him play in a beer league game. Down the
but
road.
But McDavid went a couple of years ago to the World Championships, the first year in the league.
Yeah, his first year, right? Yeah. But there was some controversy a little bit because of his shoulder injury. Was that the same year and he came back and they weren't sure if he should go?
This is only his third year in the league.
Craig, let me ask you this.
So I guess so. Yeah, there you go.
Let's just say you got hired by the Edmonton Oilers or you went for an interview and Daryl Cates sat you down. No, I'm being serious because I want to know what, like, I'm not a managerial type of person. That's not my gig. But if he said to you, Craig, what are you going to do next year for the Edmonton Oilers to get in the playoffs, what would you say? Would you say it's not happening, or would you say this is what I would do?
Well, yeah, I don't think you can just automatically say it's not happening, but you better paint a realistic picture. And the realistic picture, see, what always amazes me, and the Oilers have missed the playoffs 11 of 12 years. So last year was nice, right? But somehow everybody thinks that last year is what they are. I think last year was the aberration. I don't think they're fast. I don't think they have enough good defensemen. I don't think they have enough skill up front. So where are you going to go get the skill?
Okay, so there's somebody sitting in an interview room in the owner
I would tell them you better be patient because this is going to take some time. We'll work to try to do the things we can.
Can you imagine, though? 12 years, they've been terrible.
Yep.
And you better be patient. If I was a fan, we would have a radio show if we were out there.
Oh, it would be quite entertaining to hear us, like, the Overdrive version of Edmonton. Imagine a guy, like, let's say they clean house, or they just get rid of the coach, and somehow, like, Quinville's available, a good comparison to what happened here in Toronto a few years ago when Babcock was hired. And Quinville shows up and says, if you don't think there's pain coming... There's pain coming. The reaction in Edmonton, I wouldn't even be able to comprehend because of McDavid. Because McDavid and Draisaitl.
And keep going.
And Nugent Hopkins.
Okay, and you're going to stop real quick.
Right, but that's better than what the Leafs had when Babcock got here. They had nothing when Babcock got here.
Really?
Nothing.
Oh, really?
Oh, what did they have?
Well, wait a second. They had Morgan Riley. They had Kadri. Okay.
Like, okay. Where's McDavid and Draisaitl?
Wait a sec. The point is, you know what? And I keep saying this. Connor McDavid was a blessing. We all know why he was a blessing.
A gift from God, they call it.
And you know what? And he was an absolute curse for the Edmonton Oilers. Because you look at McDavid and you go, here's this brilliant player. They've drafted terrible for 15 years.
But he still exists. Like,
yeah,
he's a part of their program.
Guess what? And they don't have anybody else to help him.
That's fine. But it's better than what the Leafs started with when Babcock got here.
I don't think so.
You really don't think so?
No, they had Nylander. He was already drafted.
Okay, but he hadn't played a game in the league. We didn't know what he was.
Well, guess what? They don't have enough skill. Their Bakersfield team out of the playoffs.
Right.
They don't. Tell me who their good prospects are.
It was an unmitigated disaster here in Toronto, too, though,
Craig. Wait a second. They had Phil Kessel on their team. They traded him for a reason.
Okay?
They had Riley. They had Kadri in the system. They turned Kessel. They had drafted Nylander. They had the fourth pick coming up when Mike Babcock came here. Trust me, the Oilers don't have very much at all terms of high-end skill.
Bob,
I'd like
McKenzie
to welcome in
studio.
Our insider.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
You rolled into a beauty here.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, because we're talking about Edmonton, right, and what's going on there. And,
yes.
Well, my question to Craig was, like, if you're interviewing, like, let's just say they clean house, and you're sitting in front of the owner, Bobby, and he said, I want to make the playoffs next year. What are you going to do about that? I just wonder what the answer would be.
You know what? It's a lame answer to give, but it's Cam Talbot's going to be better this next year than he was this year.
You hope?
Yeah, that would be the expectation. I can't imagine he'd be that bad again. They've obviously got to get more somebody to push him a little harder, maybe. And you've got to, and again, if healthy, Larson and Klefbom have to be better next year than they were this year. I mean, I don't know any.
Bobby, not just better, like much better.
Yeah, but the point well taken. But I mean, when I look at the Ottawa Senator disaster, I think there's a lot of parallels with the Edmonton Oilers disaster. And that is, when they were successful, they got fantastic goaltending. Whether it was from Anderson or Condon, their goalies were very, very good. When Edmonton was good last year, they got very, very good goaltending. Vezina caliber goaltending from Cam Talbot. The best Ottawa Senator player and defenseman is Erik Karlsson. He was outstanding last year. Wasn't very good this year. Last year, Oscar Klefbom and Adam Larson were very good. I mean, they were, and they were better than very good in the playoffs. And so when you sat and looked at it, and this is how people ended up picking Edmonton as a Stanley Cup possibility this year, well, they've got a great goaltender in Talbot. They've got this really good shutdown pair that played so well in the playoffs. They're just going to pick up where they left off. And so I think we overinflated how good Edmonton was, but I also think we're underselling how bad, underselling how bad they are. We are saying they're just terrible, they're garbage, it's a hot tire fire, and maybe it is, but maybe Talbot and those guys are just going to play a lot better, and right away, just doing that alone, they're going to be better. But they've obviously got issues. Who's kidding who? I mean, I'm not saying you just go to, if you're Darrell Cates, you sit there and listen to whoever's the general manager explaining, well, yeah, the goalie will be better, the defense will be better, and we're going to be fine. Because they traded Hall for Larson, they traded Eberle. They don't have enough scoring on the wings. The Lucic contract looks really poor. He's got to go at the end of the season and try to reinvent himself. And most people would say he can't do that at his age or whatever. But you know what? Maybe if he is 7 to 10 pounds lighter, maybe he trains differently, maybe he completely looks at everything that he's done and how he's approached hockey and says, I can't have another year like this, and I got to find a way to make myself more useful. He's a pretty smart guy, and maybe he's going to do that in the offseason, and maybe he is better next year. But there's a lot of hopes and prayers in there, too.
If Lucic is anything like me in the phone calls I got, it's 20 pounds less.
7 to 10 isn't going to cut it.
No.
Maybe.
See, I'm not suggesting Lucic is out of shape. What I'm saying is he's built his game to play a certain way.
Yeah.
And now that he's older and now that the game has changed, he's got to adapt.
He's got to move around the ice differently than
he does right now. He's got to try to get first step quickness a little bit and probably would... Probably would make sense for him to be a little bit lighter because he doesn't need the game's not as heavy as it was. It's quicker.
Right.
So he's gotta take a little something off the heavy hockey and you know what? He's a really, really smart hockey guy. Like he really is tuned in to what goes on in the league and what players do and all of that. And so I would think he'd be the first guy to be well aware that this off season that he may need to alter his training, he may need to alter how he eats and trains and try to come back next year and not have his contract and himself be an albatross in an organization that desperately needs something on the wings.
Well, their neighbor in the province might be doing them a bit of a favor here, too, with this meltdown in Calgary.
Yeah.
Because now they're done, and now, like, I had Edmonton in, I had Calgary, and I thought Calgary was well-built and was going to be a pretty good team, and this is just a meltdown now. And, like, who do you feel better about going into the offseason? Is it definitely Calgary, or...
Well, Calgary, and again, Calgary looks like a good team. They thought they addressed their goaltending issues, and for much of the season they did. And then Mike Smith got injured. They didn't get enough from the guys behind him. And then even down the stretch here, Mike Smith faltered. And whether that's just he got out of his rhythm, he got injured, he was out of shape, whatever, when he came back, he wasn't 100%. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. They maybe needed a little more depth in their scoring. They've got a really good defense, but they didn't seem to maximize. Like, you know, when you've got Giordano and you've got Brody and you've got Hamilton, and then you add Hamonic and you bring in Michael Stone, you think you're building, you know, and you think you've addressed the goaltending. And so if all you're missing is third-line scoring, I mean, that shouldn't be enough to keep you out of the playoffs.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And, because, you know, you've got Goodrow, you've got Monahan, you've got
Kachuk's had a good year. He's
and
been injured.
The problem is it was like a perfect storm, too. At the precise moment you needed to push to get in, you don't have your goaltender. Now you don't have Matthew Tkachuk, and he's such an important player on their team. So it's, you know... They should still be a good team, and it'll be interesting to see because, as we all know, Murray Edwards, Ken King, Brian Burke, I mean, this is the year they expected to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
So now what happens, you know, to somebody's head roll is Glenn Gullitson is in trouble. What kind of pressure Brad Freeliving going to face? That's a real tough one in Calgary.
Could you see Van Riemsdyk being a guy that they might kick tires on?
I don't know. Again, it's
Calgary?
Yeah.
Well,
either team, I guess, but Calgary.
I would say you've got to look at the cap issues, you know, because and again, you can always move pieces to make them fit. My guess is if Van Riemsdyk goes to free agency, which we expect to have happen, my guess is I don't think you can ever preclude him from playing for a Canadian team again. But I also think being an American, he might be more inclined to go closer to home. And then it comes back to, well, can the Flames afford to give a guy a 5 or a 6 year deal at $6 million plus? Because that's what Van Riemsdyk's going to get, I think.
Well, and Tkachuk's coming, going to be ready for his new contract. And you have Goodrow and Tkachuk who are left wingers. So does James Van Riemsdyk want to sign up to play behind those guys again?
Yeah.
I think he's a better fit in Edmonton because you got 97 and 29 there.
Yeah.
Fit him in on the wing with one of them.
Well, and just get to the right spots.
He can do that. Like, that's what he does, right?
Party time.
He gets
and help the power play.
Right? Yeah, well, and that's... I mean, he's on such a heater right now. Yeah, you can't take these goals away. Like, they're in. Yeah. It counts. But this
And it's
is
not
absurd.
Like he's never been in this universe before.
Right, he scores.
But, you know, obviously, it's a great year, and will end up being a career year for him. But, I mean, he's... You know, on a bad year, he's probably 25 money in the bank.
Absolutely. Bob
McKenzie
in studio.
He's got to get to 40, though. 40's a nice number.
What's he at now? 33, 35?
Yeah, I think 33. Yeah.
When you got to 40, Jeff, did you feel pressure to get to 40 again? Or was it more about that, like, hey, I got to, like, this is what I feel I can do?
I'll tell you what, I played on bad teams, and it was in Carolina where nobody else scored. So it's like the next year I scored 31, and they're like, what's wrong with this guy? I'm like, are these people high? Like, besides these other people I'm playing with, they got 14 goals and they're awesome, but I got 31. That's no good.
You know, I think I know the answer to this question, but when you play on a team you know isn't that good, and that I guess it really, and especially if you're wired to be a goal scorer and you are wired to be a goal scorer, you just get to the point where it's like, I'm not even worried about winning. It's like, I just get my goals and I'm good.
Bobby, I think it was Stevie Francis, the basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, it's a culture. It's just you look around and you know what's around you and how good they are and what they're like. I'd be in training camp and I'm looking around going, what the hell? What are these guys going to do? We're not going anywhere.
So get your 30 and
you're But good. I will say this. One year I went to the Stanley Cup Finals and I did the same thing in training camp. I'm like, we're losers. Like, we're the Durham Bulls. Like,
and you were a leader in the room, just taking kids under your wing. This is how you reacted day one at camp. We're awful.
That's how the vets do it.
Well, dude, every trade deadline, you're looking. Colorado loads up. Detroit loads up. And we get Danny Markov. It's like, all right. But in saying that, we...
Cup finals, a cup final.
Yeah, but I've told you 100 times, a Cinderella team, they never win it. They get there, they never win.
Yep.
So it's like, who cares? You're a loser.
With Bob McKenzie in studio.
Looks like he's going to cry.
Yeah, now it's all dawning on him.
This pisses me off, man. I think you go to a team like that, go to cup finals, and you won a cup, and like, well, how come I wasn't there?
Could have been you.
Anywho.
Could have been you. Matthew's returning tonight. Are you, like, with the shoulder stuff, which is what he's dealing with, I'm sure you saw his comments last weekend where he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he's not certain he'll ever be 100% again this year.
Right.
But he's got to learn to deal with it, and everyone's playing through injuries. Yeah. Does that lead you to be a bit pessimistic about how he's going to play, or do you feel like it's going to be the same old Matthews? Maybe not starting tonight, but by game one.
Yeah, it may take a while to get back in the rhythm again. You got to assume that he's fine and he take a hit. As long as he can take a hit and it's not like, oh, then, you know, you're, you know, two steps back already. And, he should be fine, but you're right. I mean, that's, you know, part of the deal, and O would know that having played the game is, and this is what oftentimes separates really good players from just okay players, is the ability to know that you're not 100%, that you don't feel good, you don't feel exactly right, and you still say, okay, but that's okay, I'll be fine, and I'll be a problem solver, and I'll find my way.
One of my favorite stories, and Brian knows it, I used to be the first guy off for warm-up every time, and this Radim Verbata character comes in the locker room, peels all his gear off, and I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I got like a chest cold or something. He goes, I'm not playing tonight. I looked at him, what? He goes, yeah, I'm kind of stuffed up. It's like in my chest, and I'm kind of stuffy, and I'm not playing. I had to have a team meeting, and I go, if anybody ever doesn't play for this team because of that, you got to leave. I can't do this.
The sniffles.
Yeah, it was like a skit out of Seinfeld. He's like, yeah, kind of stuffed up, and I don't feel good. I'm like, so you're not playing tonight? He goes, no, I'm going home. I couldn't believe it. The NHL.
I don't know if it's true or not, but Scotty Bowman always maintained that some players, he said, some players he coached had the great capacity, no matter how badly they, you know, like Steve Yzerman at the end, his knees were like just gone.
I played golf with Stevie Yzerman after they beat us out of the cup finals, and this guy couldn't even walk.
Yeah, like, and so he said, there's a guy, he says, he always maintained, and I don't know if it's true, but it's what Scotty said, that Sergei Fedorov was a guy who, if he was off, if he had an injury, he was coming back from it, if he wasn't 100%, he couldn't be effective, that he needed to be...
I could never call my father to say healthy. That I missed a game because of the...
And I don't think Scotty was saying that Fedorov was soft, just that some players are able to park it and forge ahead, and some players recognize that things aren't quite right, and therefore they don't get to 100%. So that's your point with Matthews, mm-hmm. and I guess we'll see. You know, if he's saying it's going to affect him for the rest of the season, if he pots goals and is busy and in the middle of everything, then it's not affecting him. But if he's not, then maybe he is one of those guys. But I would suspect it's the former, not the latter.
I've seen a lot of times, Bobby, where a guy's at pregame meal, they never went to morning skate, they're sick as a dog, best player on the ice.
Yeah.
They're like, I'll give it a try. And they play unbelievable. That's why when this guy peeled his gear off and said, I'm out of here, I'm like...
Well, I mean, with
you do Zaitsev, that too when you come home from vacation.
But I show up. Like, I'm here. I'm miserable.
This guy never shows up on Mondays when he goes away on the weekend.
Dude, I was literally here on Monday after being away.
Before, you never did.
I've already scheduled that for Vegas.
He's become a veteran.
That's right.
He's learned leadership.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows that he
Friday and Saturday, you should be able to work on Monday.
He knows that he can't bust your balls if he's not showing leadership himself.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. I have a certain standard that I want to bring to this radio show.
He's now a veteran.
Show.
He's a grit grinder.
Yeah, I figured it out.
He's got the hat on.
It's
a great looking hat. And Zaitsev's coming back too, and he's coming back from like a bad case of the flu.
And he wasn't playing well before. And awful. I mean, he was off for that period of time with the injury, and then he comes back and he wasn't very good, and then he gets the flu. So that's an interesting one because there's not a lot of time here, and they need him to get back to whatever peak was for him, and
right.
And in between the last injury and the illness, the point in between wasn't peak Zaitsev.
No, it wasn't. He hasn't had a very good year all year, but like they've paid him and they've committed to him as a top four guy, you know, and he's got to bring that to the table, you know. And before he got injured, he was playing a lot of penalty kill minutes. I think he may have been averaging more ice time for defensemen than anyone else, Riley and Gardner included. It was real close to it. Like, Babcock's got a lot of time for him.
Yes.
But Babcock's also a realist. If he's not bringing it, he's got to compensate somehow. And I would assume he would lean towards Pollock compensating those minutes, but where does Dermott stand in this conversation? Like, as we get closer to the playoffs, a big game like tonight, is he capable of more minutes? Will they give him more minutes?
I think he is, and obviously there's some fear there. And Babcock has referenced it on multiple occasions where he's got one part of the game down pat, you know, the part with the puck, and he still makes a lot of mistakes. But that's their job to work on that. But he brings a lot to the table, that's for sure.
Patrick Laine's out more than likely for a couple of weeks, but only a bruised foot. That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah, you know what, though? It's and I understand Winnipeg saying, they're saying, hey, you know, Paul Maurice first said nothing sinister, and now they're saying x-rays are negative, which is good.
Deep bone bruises sometimes
but worse. How many times has a bone bruise turned out to keep a guy out as long as a fracture?
And hurts
or sometimes, a lot of the time, it's like, yeah, the x-rays and whatever, and a week or 10 days in, sometimes, and I'm not saying this is the case with Laine, maybe he'll miss 2-3 games, he'll be back and everything will be fine. We don't know. But I do know this, there are a lot of guys that get the bone bruise diagnosis and like 5 to 7 days in, and they're not getting better. So they go back and they start doing MRIs or CT scans and ultrasounds and different imaging over and above an x-ray. And they go, oh, guess what? You saw a fracture there.
We found something.
It's going to be 2 to 4. It's going to be 4 to 6 or whatever. And I hope that's not the case. And I'm not suggesting it is with Laine. All I'm saying is at this time of the year, you can put whatever name you want on it. But until you see the guy starting to get stronger and be able to deal with more, you know, not have as much pain and skate and ramp it up, and because order of the playoffs, we're literally a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, 2 weeks away, I guess, give or take. And he's, needless to say, a huge part of that program. But it's kind of a bummer because now the Rockets more than likely been determined. I guess Ovi's got it. There's a couple of guys that are in contention, but Laine was pushing.
While Bill Carlson turns it up a notch.
Wouldn't that be a story?
If that guy's name was Bob McKenzie from Vancouver, he'd be talked about for the heart. I'm serious, he would be.
Carlson?
40 goals and plus 35, and his team's winning all those games.
Malkin's on the hunt, too.
Yeah, he is.
In the race for goals.
Yeah. And the Carlson thing is bizarre world, but then so is everything in Vegas, for sure.
Yeah,
but
if I was an owner and I left a guy unprotected that scored 40 goals the next year, I'd say you.
Look at his numbers.
I know. I just wouldn't want to see it.
And look at Columbus right now. They're on fire. Like, they're back in
the
playoffs.
They've won 9 in a row.
9 in a row. And they got Florida in town tonight. That's a big game.
Huge.
Both teams.
Huge.
Yeah, that's a big, big game. But Columbus, I mean, they got it back on the rails. And
yes, they do.
I'm with you. I would think, at the very least, there's got to be like an audit or something. Like, what did we miss? Can we go back and watch the games from 2 years ago? Like,
yeah.
But gear up, because Bettman just said you were down there in Florida. When Seattle comes, it's going to be the exact same program, right?
Yeah, although, as I said before, I think it'll be interesting. The teams were so eager to use the expansion draft to their advantage. And in this instance, Columbus wanted to get rid of the David Clarkson contract, and Carlson was the price to get rid of it. And Florida was so eager to get rid of the Riley Smith contract that Jonathan Marchessault became the price to get rid of Riley Smith. So you had all these teams that were looking at the expansion draft, not in terms of what do I do to protect myself as much as what can I do to alleviate financial issues or cap issues.
How do I benefit from
this? How do we flip this around and make this expansion draft a positive experience for us from a financial point of view? And, you know, maybe they either overthought it or put too much of a premium on that. But I mean,
if I'm Seattle, Bobby, I go right to Kelly McCrimmon and I say, you've been through this recently, and I'll say, you're a smart guy. I'll say,
yeah, I disagree. I think that George McPhee just showed having the experience is what you need in dealing with the managers. And that's not a knock on Kelly McCrimmon. I think it's an experienced person's job.
Being honest with the other GMs, knowing the way the other GMs think
honest.
And work.
Kelly's an honest guy, and he's sharp, and he's good, and I think he's got a chance to be a general manager in the league. I want somebody that's got experience dealing with the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's a big job. You're dealing with 31 teams trying to put together a team.
It is a good point.
Like, and keep this in mind, too. All the managers have learned from the last expansion.
That's my point. I think they're going to be they're going to look a lot longer and harder at this whole experience. And again, I haven't done the exercise, but when the Seattle expansion draft occurs, I'll be curious how many fewer players are on no move clauses than because what we've seen is teams have been gravitating away from. No move clauses, full no trades, trying as much as possible to have modified no trades instead of full no moves. And will there actually be a substantially less number of players on no move clauses? Because, you know, again, Ottawa didn't get killed in the expansion draft, but the fact that they wanted to leave Phaneuf exposed and he wouldn't allow his no move clause to be waived meant they effectively had to get rid of Mathot.
Right. Well, and I'll say this, too. If it happens in the next 2 years, the Toronto experience will be very different because they lost Brendan Leipzig and fans were like, all right, whatever, we're good. But if it's the same rules and parameters,
right.
You're losing Connor Brown next time or Dermott.
Kenny Holland, I thought, had the right approach at this last year's. I mean, I shouldn't say the right approach, but his approach was, we're losing one player. I'm not you. Take whoever you want.
Yep.
He didn't engage with George and just said, I'm going to lose a player. Take whoever you want.
Yep. Protect who we're going to protect. And yeah,
that'll be my philosophy.
Got to lose a player.
Take him.
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind where that player is in your lineup, like on your roster.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And listen, again, Columbus, it's not like they plummeted to the bottom of the league because William Karlsson isn't there anymore. You know, the Florida one might be more interesting because Riley Smith has been a godsend
for really
Vegas,
good.
Too.
And yet, I mean, and it's easy to criticize, and most people have. But if your owner comes to you and says,
get rid of this guy,
we need, you know, $7 million out of the budget. You can't lose $5 or $7 million from your payroll or your budget and not, you know, not cut flesh on the way out. I mean,
so true.
You know, that's real. They knew when they got rid of Riley Smith that this guy still is an NHL player. He still can score goals. But we need his contract gone. But the fact that they compounded it with Marcia's home.
That one stings.
Yeah.
Those two might help. All right, Bob. Good seeing you, man.
Thanks, guys.
Bob. There's Bob McKenzie on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. And for fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. We'll get back into the Raps loss in Cleveland last night, what it means for the Raptors, what it says about LeBron James. And an interesting story out of San Antonio with Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs. It's getting strange and ugly down there.
I think
there.
The Spurs are denying it. They're saying it didn't happen.
They're calling fake news on that?
We'll tell you about that next.
Let's get to it next. So LeBron James put forth a stat line last night that we have never seen in the NBA. Those kind of numbers. And if you were lucky enough to watch the game, and you and I, we were both watching, as much as we've got a Raptors slant being from Toronto and tracking this team, you have to walk away from that game and just pump the tires of the king, because no one has ever had 35 points, 17 assists, and zero turnovers in a game.
Ever?
Ever in the regular season. Since they started keeping track of turnovers, I believe in the 70s, no one's ever done that before. 35 points, 17 assists, zero turnovers. That's how good he was last night. And Cleveland won by 3 points. And the Raptors' defense was not that great. Serge Ibaka, people are all over him. He didn't perform that well. He hasn't performed that well since they picked him up.
Elite talent. The only comparable I can have. I didn't get Gretzky when he was in his prime. But we played some really good games against Pittsburgh, and Mario would just be Mario, and you're like, well, you can't do anything about that.
Scary, eh?
Yeah, Lindros in his prime, you're like, we're working hard, we're good, we're talented, but We don't have a guy that's 6'5" that's crushing every one of our defensemen and breaking their ribs and shoulders. And
furthermore, you don't have a guy that can stop that either. Like, no, that's the thing about LeBron.
No, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's the thing about LeBron. You don't have anyone that can match that game, and you don't have anyone that can stop that game. Yeah. That's
greatness
the truth.
Is sometimes when it comes hard to figure out. Like, look at all the goals Ovechkin scores. Wouldn't you think, like, penalty killers would say, well, I might want to look at him and say, I got to take away that option. But they never do. They can't.
Dude, it's happening here in Toronto with Marner off the sidewall. It's the same thing. You know what he's going to do. He's looking for Van Riemsdyk, and they can't stop it.
Yeah.
It's the same play. He gets it up high.
You can't stop it. You know what? I would say, Mitch, beat me with your shot, but I'm not letting you beat me with your pass.
But he's beat them with his shot a couple of times recently.
That's what I'm doing. And
the
know,
shot's
again,
the least dangerous
and Ovechkin,
thing, though.
I've said it for years. I'm having somebody stand right next to him. You're not beating me, and I'll play a 4-on-3 the rest of it. Until somebody goes and does that.
But why hasn't that happened? We're 13 years into his career.
I don't know why. It's a good question. I'm just telling you what I would do. Yeah. You're not beating me.
Well, listen.
And Mitch, take your shot. Beat me good.
I'm with you with that, but Marner will go back doors. Like, he's such a cerebral player that even if you take Van Riemsdyk away, he'll find the other guy down low or something.
I'll take everybody away. Make him shoot.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta just say, I'm not letting you beat me with this player. I'm not letting this player. LeBron's different, but his basketball is different.
Right.
But football, hockey are ones where you can. Scotty Bowman said it years ago. I remember he took Brett Hall. They were playing them in the St. Louis. They were playing St. Louis in the playoffs, and he just stifled Brett Hall. And he said, there's nothing easier than taking one guy right out of the game.
Belichick does the exact same thing. Belichick, this is how he coaches. He knows what your best option is, and he will do whatever he has to shut that option down. And if you beat him with the other options, good for you. That's
Bingo.
A great job by you.
I want to bring up my topic from yesterday that we never got a chance to get into. What GM in the National Hockey League, Craig, would say, let me get rid of every roster player I have and start fresh and do a Vegas expansion draft? What GM would be willing to say, I want them all gone and I want to start from scratch?
All of them. I mean,
you get to, like, after what happened in Vegas, you get to erase everyone on your roster.
I know, but, like, so you look at the bottom teams, you say, okay, that's Buffalo, but you don't want to let Eichel go. I mean, he's a hell of a talent. So you ask me, you know what? I might surprise you here.
I'm going to go with Montreal. I would say everybody, goodbye.
Yeah. Montreal.
Carey Price, too.
Yeah.
I want to start from scratch.
Yeah. Craig?
I was leaning towards Chicago.
Oh. Chicago.
That is a good pick because the party's over.
Yeah. Yeah. As Don Meredith said, turn out the lights. The party's over.
See, I think the obvious one is Arizona. Like, Arizona's the one for me.
That's just a wimpy pick.
But they're young.
I know that, but they're awful.
There's no promise.
They're
not
terrible.
Awful, Brian. If you go and look at their records in the second half of the season, they're not awful. Actually, they're one of the top 12 teams in the league, and the record shows it. And
they won in Buffalo last night.
No, it's not about winning last night, Brian. Go look at the record. It's a fact.
So you think they're a good team?
I can tell you what. In the second half of the season, they've been better than 15 teams. That's a fact.
Okay. I'll give you one half season over the past decade.
I can only tell you what's happened in the last four. That's why when everybody tells you about Edmonton, I don't think Edmonton has a chance to get better. Does Cam Talbot have a chance to maybe improve? Yeah, he does. They're not a very good team.
But that's the thing. Like, who's anti-Ranta? Who's the goalie in Arizona?
Just because you don't know who the goalie is.
Dude, Arizona.
I just named Ranta. That's the guy.
Just because you don't know doesn't mean. Just go look at the record.
Okay, I'll look at the record over the past 30 games and make a snap
second
judgment.
Half of the season from the drop of the puck, second half of the season.
All right, fine. That's Arizona's a good team. I'm telling you, that's who I would take. I'm telling you, that's who I would
take. Go look at Chicago's record.
Oh, they've been awful. They're eliminated. Well, they're further ahead than Arizona.
I'm answering Jeff's question. See ya.
But look at their record over the course
of
the
Montreal,
year.
Montreal? Whose?
Chicago.
Yeah.
Whose record's better?
How many points ahead of Arizona?
They're 8 points up on Arizona.
Oh, wow. That's Arizona started out 0-11.
Okay, but still.
You take Arizona, I'll take Chicago.
Okay, fine. you got it. We'll see where we're at.
Isn't it about getting better over the course of the year? One team's gotten considerably worse, and one team's gotten considerably better.
Okay, so but that's you could use that microcosm in a
no,
game.
No, it's not a microcosm. I'm using
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, it is.
From the point of the second half of the season, game 42 on.
Right.
The Arizona Coyotes have been one of the top half teams in the league. One of the top half. That means half the league has been worse than the Coyotes.
Okay.
I like a team that gets better over the course of a season.
This be but they're still not going anywhere. If you're a GM and
what do you mean they're not going anywhere?
Said,
well, great. Like they won a bunch of games late in the year. That doesn't mean anything. They're still going to finish fourth last.
That's okay. I'm just saying I'm not throwing them away. Keller's going to have 60 points.
Keller's pretty good.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's pretty good.
I think Kane's still pretty good.
I didn't say Kane wasn't any good.
I know, but you're saying that you get rid of Chicago. You challenged me on that.
No, I did. I said that. I'm just telling you who has the better record since the midpoint of the season.
Okay, and since the beginning of the season, Chicago does.
And you want to know something? It's not even close, the second half of the season between Chicago and Arizona. That's the scary thing, Brian.
Do you think Arizona will be better than Chicago next year?
I do.
For starters, Corey Crawford hasn't played a game in the second half.
Okay.
Probably means something.
That's okay.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I'll give it.
Would you
ask me? You asked me the question. I gave
no,
my
I understand
answer.
That, but there has to be context to it. Like if we're going to start at a date, then we also have to remember who
you
was
two
playing
are like
over that
the two
that
old
date.
Guys and the Muppets.
Well, I like it.
I like it too. But you take me out of the show.
We weren't trying to. You asked the question.
Who did you say?
I
Montreal.
Did. I created good banter. I think.
Well, you know, Brad tweeting and saying Detroit. He would think about Detroit.
Yeah, I think that's a fair one.
That one might you can maybe start from scratch. The Hurricanes. They got some good defensemen.
Yeah.
Although you get out of the Scott Darling contract.
See, that's what I think really is hard. It's not just Scott Darling. It's a series of bad bets on goaltenders over a long period of time.
In Carolina, you mean? Well, it's a good topic.
I liked it.
And for the first time in a long time, like the least.
You said to me yesterday, you're like, that's stupid. I don't want to talk about that.
I never said that.
Yeah, you did. You were like, nah.
And see what I did, Jeff? I just jumped all over it.
No, you're fake. You said that.
I never said that.
Yeah, you did.
He lies. Oh, he lies.
Thank you. You're lying, Ted Cruz. You know who you are? Crazy Joe Biden. Did you see Trump on Twitter today?
Oh, no, my God.
Basically challenging Crazy Joe Biden to a fight.
He called him Crazy Joe Biden.
Crazy Joe Biden.
In a street fight, he said. Isn't that what he said?
Tell me you wouldn't pay a lot of money to see Trump in an Andre the Giant pair of tights take on Joe Biden. I would pay a lot of money to see that.
Joe Biden in a luchador mask.
Right. Biden in a crazy Joe Biden in a Rey Mysterio mask and Trump in an Andre
just
the Giant.
Trump in a roasted turkey wrestling position.
What about the Rangers?
Taps them up. The Rangers are a good one.
Rangers?
Rangers are a very good one.
It's just fascinating because I know every GM has probably sat there and said, I hate all these guys. And if you had like one of those, what are they called, easy buttons or whatever, and you could just make them all go away, you just start, like, get rid of everybody.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Liquidation sale.
With this Spurs conversation, the San Antonio Spurs.
And you
Spurs,
don't need buyers. They're just all gone. And you just get to do what George McPhee and start from scratch.
If Kawhi Leonard gets out of San Antonio, they may be wanting to do that in San Antonio with the Spurs because they're an old team now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they've won a lot of games recently.
Just like
they've
Chicago, we said the party's over. The party might be over there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's why this report is so important. Now, the Spurs, I guess, are calling fake news on this, but the source is one that I'm pretty committed to, and it's Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN, who came out and reported earlier today that over the weekend, the Spurs had a players-only meeting with Kawhi Leonard, spearheaded by Parker and Ginobili, the two vets, urging him to return to the lineup. And
I don't even understand what that really means. Like, if you're a... Like, we talked about Verbata earlier, and it's like, when you make it to the big leagues, your only the only thing you care about is playing.
Well,
so it's like, why if this guy's healthy, what the hell is he doing? Is he want out or is he
here? A couple of things that
gonna,
may be
like,
coming
can't they
from
sue
here.
Him or
no, you can't sue him because for starters, they're going to want to pay him. Like even after all this in the summer, if he says I want to re-sign, they'll re-sign him. There is a potential...
Dude, he's not re-signing there if he refuses to go in the lineup right now.
But I don't think that's a San Antonio bias. Like, if he was in Chicago, he'd be doing the same thing. If he was in New York or Miami or Cleveland or Toronto, I don't think this is him protesting the Spurs necessarily. I think it's him, combination of a mental block, doesn't feel right, and he's thinking about the payday that he doesn't want to mess around with. And that wouldn't shock me. How many times have we talked about that? The reality of the sports world. We Disney-fy all of these players, thinking that they'd all play for free and it's all about rings. The truth is they want to get paid like everyone else in the world. And it wouldn't shock me if Kawhi Leonard's sitting there saying, I'm not throwing $200 million away for Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and Greg Popovich.
No, he wants to join somebody in Houston or go to L.A. with LeBron or do whatever.
Wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, he wants to be a part of a big three or...
And I'm not saying I condone that mentality. I would be freaking out if I was his teammate, too, because I'd be sitting here saying, we're going to the playoffs, and we need you. We need Kawhi Leonard. But Leonard might be sitting there thinking, I need that $200 million this summer. So I'm not going to blow my knee out trying to get us into the
playoffs. Do you ever think
playoffs.
About the number, Brian, and just say, like, what the hell you need $200 million for?
If someone's going to like offer
I
it to you.
Like I have a great life, and everything I have in my life is due to the game of hockey. And I'm able to support my kids, my family. But what the hell you need $200 million for?
Okay, but what does the owner need that money for? Like, that's the thing about that take. If it's not going to Kawhi Leonard,
I guess my
it's staying
point
in
is
the owner's
I don't know what
pockets.
The hell you do with $200 million besides not work. And
we'll talk to Mike Tyson. He blew through $300
million. $325
million. Did you see, this may be fake news. I'm not even going to say it. I'll look it up first.
I will say this. I've done some dumb things in my life. But if I was ever worth $200 million, the first thing I would do is dig a hole in my backyard and put $15 million in.
Oh, me too. Like, the idea of investing? Why would you invest? You
I'm not investing in anything.
No.
I'm burying $15 million in a hole unless in case the you-know-what hits the fan.
That's how guys lose
all their
money. Because
I'll dig it up
money.
And say, okay, we got to reset.
Yeah, they all lose their money. They're like, I'll get in on that Papa John's franchise. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why would you do that?
That car wash down in Florida? I went in. No, you don't.
Keep it.
Yeah.
Keep the cash. When was the last time you went shopping for you? Did you come home with what you wanted? Shop ebay.ca. Not only can you find exactly what you want, you'll find millions of Canadian sold products and unique items you can't find anywhere else. Bet you didn't know that over 80% of what eBay sells is 100% new. And did you know that over 80% of the items on eBay are bought instantly without an auction? Well, now you do. Brand new, nearly new, totally you. eBay, fill your cart with color. Shop ebay.ca. Tony Romo debuting on the tour. We'll tell you about it next. Tony Romo was playing golf today, made his debut on tour.
It's ridiculous.
Down in Mexico.
Ridiculous. I watched it. No business being there. Imagine some poor bastard that's trying to get a card.
Okay, a couple things on that. One, he's 14 shots off the lead, so he's not really in contention.
But I could just see what he was going through. This guy probably goes to his course and shoots 65 with his buddies. But I'll tell you what, you give a guy a scorecard and a pencil and every shot counts. I played in some competitive golf tournaments where I played the Stanley Cup Finals, man. Played against Wayne Gretzky. I wasn't even nervous. Give me a card and a pencil.
And a crowd, too. The crowd following you.
Shard City.
Do you remember when Grant Fuhr was trying to qualify for the tournament?
Not even close.
And he told me, he said, I can do it for a round. Maybe even two rounds. He goes, these guys are doing it for four rounds, weekend after
weekend.
And he goes, and you have, your margin for error is like nothing.
And they've been doing it since they're five years old.
Well, and so, you know, Grant and Jeff, good golfers, right? I don't know Tony
Romo's
a good
really
golfer,
good golfer.
But the bottom line, I asked Doug Armstrong. I don't know if you know Doug Armstrong went to Florida State on a golf scholarship.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I forget what was in his age group of thing. Good golfer, really good. I asked him one time, I said, did you ever think about going on the tour and being a pro? He started to laugh. He goes, Greg. He goes, the best guys, they're way up here. And he goes, and the rest of us are just filling out college rosters, playing, yeah, we're good, but we're not anywhere near that level.
I used to live in South Florida for 2 years, and I would play against kind of like mini tour pros and borderline. These guys would shoot 65 to 70 every day, and they couldn't make cuts on mini tours.
They're on the web tour.
No, Hooters tour. Missed cut.
Well, the thing is, Romo is not in last place. D.A. Points shot 7 over. D.A. Points is a name that people are familiar with.
Yeah, he's a tour winner. He won a Pebble.
Right.
He was dialed in a few years ago.
7 over. Like, Romo was even par through 12, and then he just had a meltdown. And naturally, people started bringing up the football career.
It was the Tiger. He got the Tiger coverage today.
Well, he should, though. He's Tony Romo. Look at the field, dude.
Man.
Look at the field. Like, Mike Weir's playing.
So, you're a golf fan watching the Golf Channel? You want to see Tony Romo? Yeah,
absolutely, I do. What are you going to watch? Bryce Garnett? Bryce Garnett, that's your guy on top of the leaderboard. Your boy Corey Connors is playing.
What did my boy Keith Mitchell finish at?
He's at 6 under.
Yeah.
You don't know Keith.
I had dinner with him 3 days
you
ago.
You do not know Keith. I don't believe that.
I sat beside the guy. I paid his bill, too.
Well, he's in contention down in Mexico, but I'm all over the Romo train. I'm a fan of Tony
Jeff,
Romo.
Jeff, do you often go and have dinner with people you don't know?
Well, no, he was my buddy's a golf agent.
No, I'm joking, because he said you didn't know him.
There's no way you knew him before dinner. I'll give you dinner with him. Keith Mitchell. Corey Connors, though, he had a couple of weeks ago. He's right there. Fell apart on Sunday.
He's the third-round leader.
Yeah, we interviewed him. That's right. So he's down there, too, chopping it up with Tony Romo. Luke Wilson will join us. He is a new member of the Detroit Lions after 5 years in Seattle. And Tom Stoerner, former assistant coach of the Raptors, coming up. And we'll keep teeing up the Leaf game tonight.